Get ready to wax on, wax off for episode number 20 of the Retro Rewind Podcast.
Retro Rewind Podcast initialized. Mission identified. The Karate Kid, 1984. Co-hosts online. Auditory analysis online. All systems nominal.
Welcome to the Retro Rewind Podcast. This is the podcast where we look at movies and video games from 15 or more years ago and let you know whether they're still worth rewatching or revisiting today. You can find the show notes for this episode at retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP20. And you can also find links to subscribe to us in iTunes, Miro, Stitcher Radio, and or just... There's an RSS feed where you can subscribe to us on the podcatcher of your choice. My name is Francisco Ruiz. I'm a dad, a designer, and a Dojo Miyagi fanboy.
I thought you were going to go with defense. Something like defend. Oh, that's all right.
And you know him. You love him. That's my co-host, Paul Powers. Welcome, Paul.
What's up? Hey.
So my question for you today is cobras or vipers?
What? To eat? What do you mean?
To fight with the crane kick.
Oh, okay. Well, you got to defeat the Cobra Kai. So. Okay.
So vipers?
Am I on the Viper team?
Those guys are second rate.
Yeah. Are you team Viper or team Cobra?
Well, I don't know.
This is a horrible question that I just thought of now. So let's move on.
All right.
Yeah. And we are joined today for the first time by my friend, Bill. Bill, will you please introduce yourself? Tell us what you do for a living and what is your favorite type of movie?
Okay. I'm also a dad. I work at... CDI as a QA analyst. I've been editor for about 15 years, and my favorite type of movie would definitely be suspense.
Okay, cool. Like
you're a QA guy for what? For what kind of editor? Like
web editor.
Web editor. Okay. What's your last name?
Layman.
Does your middle name rhyme with Nye?
It doesn't. That would be pretty sweet if it did, but no, it doesn't.
Oh, because then you could be Bill Nye the Editor Guy or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
We like Bill Nye the Science Guy at our place. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm a fan of Mr. Wizard and Beakman from Beakman's World.
Oh, yeah.
He's my homie. Right. Anyways, Paul, what are we going to be doing today?
I said anyways.
I think.
Oh, today, yeah. Let's see. Today, of course, we're going to be doing our roundtable discussion, whether we think this movie is a classic or second class.
Hi-ya!
Yeah. Sorry, someone just chopped me in the neck. And we're going to have the new tube segment after that. And then we'll wrap up with feedback, contact info, and other show announcements, possibly, if we get around to it. Oh, yes. Sorry. Someone just swept my leg.
Alice, check the ship for enemies. And while you're after you do that, will you tell us if you found the target for today?
Alert! Alert! Target located. Spoilers incoming. Engaging retro rewind reactor.
Wax on, wax off, wax on, paint the fence, wax off.
I can't hear you!
Wax on.
Hey, Mr. Miyagi, look!
Wax off. Don't forget to breathe. Very important.
As the new Karate Kid hits cinemas, introduce your kids to the original. The Karate Kid, Sunday, 7:30 on 7-2.
Paul, will you give us the technicals of that movie?
All right. The Karate Kid, the 1984 version, is rated PG. It's about 126 minutes long. It came out on June 22nd, 1984 in the good old US of A. It was directed by John Avildsen. Yeah. Do you know what else he directed?
I have no idea.
He directed the movie Rocky.
Rocky, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's one of my secret shames that I have never seen Rocky.
Oh, I thought maybe we would do that on this podcast. I guess not. But he also did Karate Kid 2 and 3.
Okay. Very cool.
Let's see. It was written by Robert Kamen. Do you know what Robert also wrote?
No, I don't.
He wrote Karate Kid Part 2 and 3.
How convenient.
Yes. Notice that none of these guys did Karate Kid 4. But he also wrote Gladiator and A Lethal Weapon 3 and The Fifth Element.
Oh, wow. Well, very
and,
cool.
And The Transporters. Transporter 1, 2, and 3.
Some good scripts, then.
And he also wrote the Karate Kid movie of 2010.
Oh, okay. With Will and Jaden Smith. Not with Will Smith. Jaden Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, and... oh, my gosh. My name is blinking.
Oh,
why
my
gosh.
Why
you waste all our film? It's that guy. Why you waste our podcast?
Jackie Chan?
Time? Yes.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Jackie Chan. Sorry.
And tell me, Paul, did Karate Kid make more than it cost to make it?
Yes. The budget was about $8 million. And in the USA, the box office was over $90
million. Whoa, cha-ching. So,
that's a lot for that time.
That is. Especially for an $8 million movie.
Yeah. Almost $91 million.
Well, very cool.
And it also made over $43 million in rentals alone.
Jeez. Oh, my. Good old VHS.
So it starred Ralph Macchio, Pat Morita, Elizabeth Shue. Elizabeth Shue was 21 years old when this was filmed, and Ralph Macchio was 24 years old.
Wow. They looked very young. No, he looked like a teenager.
Yeah, he was the only one there that looked like he was in high school. The rest looked like they're in college, except for Mr. Miyagi.
Yes.
But Pat Morita was nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Did not
That's
win,
awesome.
But he nominated.
That's very cool.
For an Oscar and Golden Globe.
Very nice.
Former Happy Days.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, cool. Thank you very much, Paul. And now our usual Vulcan mind meld of a memory synopsis, kind of short-circuited this time around. So this is just my memories. So I remember Daniel is a pouty teenager because he just moved with his mom from Pittsburgh to an apartment complex in Reseda with an empty swimming pool. Tears, tears. He hates it. But he meets a friend who acts pretty much just as a foil for him to meet Jennifer from Back to the Future 2 and 3. At a beach Winnie roast. Daniel tries to impress her with his soccer ball skills, but this raises the ire of Jennifer's ex-BF. This Donald Trump wannabe has it out for Daniel in a big way, chasing him down with his posse and bullying him several times. That is until the maintenance man of Daniel's apartment steps in and karate kicks this cohort of Cobra Kai keisters.
Wow.
This maintenance man, Miyagi, agrees to teach Daniel karate here and karate here after some slave labor, eventually leading to the climax at a karate tourney where Daniel finishes off Cobra Kai with the quintessential crane kick. Hi-ya!
Wow.
I love alliteration, if you could not tell by now.
Yeah.
But that is my memories. Some of those, though, were false.
Yeah. They're from New Jersey.
Yeah, they're from New Jersey. And
even though he said the apartment's in Reseda, it's not. It's actually, I think, Canoga Park. It's on Roscoe. It's still there. It's on Roscoe Boulevard, just east of Topanga.
Oh, very cool.
I think it's either Roscoe or Satakoi. I forget. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Bill, this is me listeners. and Paul's old stompy grounds from college.
It's and it's my current stopping ground. So
there you go. All right, guys, before we get going, let's do our quick fire predictions for whether we thought we would rate The Karate Kid a classic or second class. Paul?
I never decided because I went back and forth. Does that count?
Undecided. All right, Bill?
Classic.
Yeah, and I thought it was going to be a classic as well. All right, let's go ahead and talk about what we really loved and or liked from this movie. Let's kick it over to Bill. Share something that you loved or liked about The Karate Kid.
Yeah, there were quite a few things I really liked. I saw this movie first when I was 13, and I liked the buildup of, you talked about it a little bit in the memory of, you know, a kid from out of town coming into a situation where no one likes him, and just kind of the, you know, inner fighting with himself. Just, you know, there's this one part where, you know, after the beach scene where he gets ridden off course
cliff,
by the and goes down that little hill and
that was a big hill.
That was a fairly big hill, and he tumbles down a couple times, and he's so angry, and like he throws his bike away, and you know, Mr. Miyagi kind of notices, he doesn't make himself apparent, but then the next morning the bike is fixed, and just somebody looking out for him. I like the fact that none of the movie was very easy for him, that he kind of had a, you know,
it was a struggle.
Yeah, it was kind of a struggle the whole way through, whether it was his relationship with the, you know, Elizabeth, whether it
I think her character's name is Allie, just
or Allie, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Sorry. Allie. I thought it really helped that Pat Morita was the one cast, because I felt like I found out later that he had some stand-up comedian background. He really had good timing. Like, he had that sort of spiritual voice, but then he also has this great timing for his lines, and it seems like it flows. It doesn't seem like kind of forced in. It seems like out of a character. Yeah. And so I thought it was really good character-driven. It wasn't exceptionally deep or something, but for the kind of movie it was, I thought it was very, very good.
Cool. Yeah. So it sounds like you liked a lot of The Karate Kid for like the characters, and especially Daniel and Mr. Miyagi.
And I wanted Johnny to get his butt kicked so bad. Gosh, I hated Johnny. Well, he was a good antagonist.
We'll get to Johnny here.
And his teacher. I was glad that was probably my favorite part of Karate Kid 2. Spoiler alert, just that he got his butt kicked right out of the gate by Mr. Miyagi. So.
Paul, what did
that actor did a great job? Both, you know, for the antagonists, they did really good. They did really good job.
You definitely love to hate both of them.
Yeah,
yeah. Paul, what did you? How did you feel though about Pat Morita? I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong, but Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, I agree. As different as they were, they seemed relatable enough. Maybe not the first time you meet Mr. Miyagi, he seems kind of an old kook, kind of, oh man, what's this guy's problem? He's the maintenance man and doesn't want to fix the faucets. Like later. Well, when's that? You know, or after what? After. It's like, oh, this guy's lazy. He just wants to catch flies with chopsticks. But then, it's like you have to dig deeper. It's like an onion with many layers.
Totally, yeah. I actually appreciated the sort of mysterious way he was introduced. You'd think this like karate master would be introduced in a very like on sort of a temple watching other people that he's trained or something. But no, it's a very humble and sort of mysterious opening. So I definitely appreciated that. How did you feel about Daniel? Did you think Ralph Macchio as Daniel, did you think he did a good job? What do you think of that character?
Oh, yeah. I think Ralph Macchio did a good job playing a kid who has anger issues. I felt bad for Allie going from one abusive boyfriend to another who likes to get in fights. So
he was just defending her, Paul.
Well, she probably has daddy issues, so...
we'll get there.
But as far as characters, I mean, these are well thought about characters. That absolutely. From my perspective.
Yeah. And one of the things I think it's not specific to, well, the characters, but it's revealed from the characters. I really enjoyed the relationships between Daniel and Allie and Daniel and Mr. Miyagi. I thought they were so real. They just had so much depth, like with Daniel and Allie. Oh, you don't agree. Okay.
I don't agree.
Okay, hold on. Let me make my point.
Well, I agree with the Mr. Miyagi, but not the Daniel and Allie.
Okay. Well, I felt like their relationship really progressed in a very natural way. That's what
I didn't. I thought that I didn't see what she saw in him.
That's not what I'm talking about. I could see how she may not see much in him, but the way
but
their
she
relationship
did in the movie, I was like, why does she keep going after him when he's ignoring her and all that stuff? And
it's high
and
school.
Being a jerk about it. It's high school.
It was that, Bill, what did you think?
It was that very first knight in shining armor thing. I think they really drove that. You know, when he gave the radio back. After Johnny like knocked it out, mm-hmm. but it's true. It's like after that first thing, it's like, I mean, it seemed like she thought he was funny, mm-hmm. you know, with the whole soccer thing and, you know, just in a way sort of seemed less threatening, even though he did have his anger issues, sort of like the rebel without a cause sort of mm-hmm. idea of just like, well, plain hard to get. But yeah, for someone like her, it's a little hard to believe, but I think that's what the movie was trying to do.
Especially when she could probably get any guy in school.
Well, but I think what appealed to her was that this wasn't just another guy from the hills, which to digress a little bit, it sounded like they kept talking about the hills, and I thought they meant Beverly Hills, but then they live in Encino, so I was confused by that.
Yeah, which is next to Woodland Hills
and
West Hills.
That
which
makes
you don't
sense.
Know unless you live in this area.
Yeah, okay. That makes a lot more sense. Thank you. Moving back to the relationships, I'm sorry I digressed us that much. But I don't know. There's just something about it. I get where you guys are saying that it doesn't make a lot of sense what she would see in him, except I think that she sees this kid that isn't like all the other kids she knows at school because he's new in town. And the way he treats her, at least to begin with. I don't know. And then, again, just the way their relationship progressed, it's not like they like one another and then they go out and they're boyfriend and girlfriend right away. It seemed like very, very natural progression. I keep saying that because that's how I feel about it. I feel like it felt real to me.
Another one that kind of sealed the deal, I think, was that Halloween thing.
Yeah.
Where he, you know... their dancing's got that shower costume, mm-hmm. and then he gets Johnny with I think the water or something like that, and I think that sealed the deal a little bit, like because she was saying nobody stands up to Johnny, mm-hmm. and then he did, and then that's like her bud,
yeah,
exactly. And then she tripped Johnny and the whole group.
Yeah, I like
out.
That. That was
that was a good part. But what wasn't a good part, he said, look, I don't want to go to the dance because I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be noticed. And he wears this big shower curtain. He's like the most noticeable thing out there.
If you know who's inside, but until you do, you don't know.
Oh, you know everybody would be putting their arms in like, hey, who's in there?
That's a good point. Yeah, they would
this
be.
This is
that's
high
true.
School, remember?
Yes, yes. Good point. So what did you guys, I brought up the relationship between Daniel and Mr. Miyagi as something I really enjoyed. How did you guys feel about that?
Good.
Bill?
Yeah, no, I thought that did, they didn't race through that. Mm-hmm. And whether through on the karate side with the whole wax on or the sanding, the training part, but also I thought it was a really good scene when Mr. Miyagi is drinking because, you know, the loss of his, which I hadn't remembered this, his wife and son.
Yeah, I didn't remember childbirth. He had a child.
And he was wearing that uniform and just that he saw that part of him. And it's like Mr. Miyagi kind of let him in there to see that. And it wasn't just like one big climax after another. It just, you know, they had... they had, of course, the time where Mr. Miyagi defended him, you know, the first mm-hmm, time mm-hmm. with those guys. But it did seem like they were buddies, you know, after a while. Like it, that's what I got. Like even as a kid, I got it, and even watching it again today, I got that they were buddies.
Nice. Well, the fact that Daniel said that Mr. Miyagi's his best friend.
Yeah.
That was a little interesting, though.
Right, it's almost not as acceptable today, like to have that kind of like you can have mentors, but there would be something kind of weird almost.
Yeah, which is it's unfortunate because I think that relationship that they had was actually really special, and that's awesome that they had that, and
it's healthy, especially Daniel without a father.
And so that actually is a perfect segue into what I was just about to bring up. I felt. Like, you guys felt like you didn't really get Allie in liking Daniel. I didn't really understand why Mr. Miyagi took the interest he did in Daniel.
He's bored. He has nothing to do but catch flies.
That's a ridiculous answer, Paul.
It's true. He neglects his work.
He went and fixed the sink.
Eventually.
He needs to fix that
pool,
though.
It was like a day
though.
Later. What else was he doing? Trimming bonsai trees and trying to capture flies.
Maybe he does it as a volunteer because he has like all those cars and probably he may just do it in his free time and not really get paid much.
Okay, maybe.
What was the question? I'm speculating. Well, so I didn't really get why he's bored. I didn't really get why he took the interest in Daniel that he did. Like he looked out for him like he did.
Because he has a heart. That's one of the things that this movie has that a lot of movies today don't is heart.
And so what do you think about that, Bill?
I agree. And I think that heart kind of developed when I mentioned the scene a little bit earlier, but when he goes down the hill and slams the bike, it's like you can tell there's a decision there. If he's fixing his bike, he knows something's really maybe not that he's getting beat up, but something's really going on with him. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that's when someone's heart goes out to somebody as if, you know, they can't defend themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's, you know, he kind of wanted to be a protector, like, you know, and he never got a chance to be a dad. So maybe here's his chance to be a dad.
Oh, and yeah. That's
an excellent insight.
That's exactly where I was going to go. So great minds.
Karate.
Yeah, exactly. And it sort of, it came to me, that sort of line of thinking, when we see that he had a son that he lost in childbirth. And that sort of keyed into me, oh, maybe that's one of the reasons why he saw this boy that didn't have a father, because he's there in the apartment doing karate on his own and doesn't seemingly know father figure. So it makes a lot of sense that, oh, maybe I should step in here and help him. And he would then gain that relationship that he didn't get to have having a son. Go ahead, Paul.
I was going to say, just as we're talking about relationships, I enjoyed the relationship between Daniel and his mom, how they solidified that early on, and I enjoyed how the way they interacted.
And I really liked, this goes to Daniel again, I really liked how he listened to his mom, not like right away. Sometimes he had that teen petulance that we tend to have, but he would listen, he would fall in line with what his mom said because his mom's an authority, and he would do what Mr. Miyagi did. I mean, he had that one breaking point, but which that's another thing we can get to later on, but so much coming. But I really liked that he had really good, I felt, work ethic. He was told to do something, he would do it, even though he doesn't necessarily know why. Anyway, one last thing I want to mention about the relationship between Daniel and Mr. Miyagi is I thought it was an interesting, I'm curious if this was purposeful. And Paul, you might be able to tell me, since your parents live in Japan and you know a little bit of Japanese. So the adding san to the end of someone's name, is that, what is that supposed to evoke? Like, he calls him Daniel-san.
Oh, you're great. You had to put me on the spot on this. San is usually, but not always, used on someone who is your junior or younger than you.
Mm-hmm.
And the ending or the suffix sama is typically used for someone who's older than you.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah. But San can also mean someone who is equal to you.
Okay. Bill, were there any other things that stood out to you about the Karate Kid that you really loved or just disliked in general?
Definitely. I like the whole feel of the 80s. It's like you are transported immediately. That whole trip, like from when they're first leaving.
Oh, my gosh.
Like the receipt of that station wagon. We had a station wagon, mm-hmm. not too, so except we didn't have to push it like they did. But how she was in a software company and how like there was all these startups back then. And
that actually confused me. I mean, they said software, but then she's at a restaurant. So
I thought that was a manager. Met there. Oh, did she change? Oh, really? I remember that scene.
Go ahead, Paul.
They had that scene at the restaurant where they had a manager opening position and that they were going to train her and she was going to get more benefits there, pay for all the benefits as opposed to working for the computer company.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay, mm-hmm. I just totally missed that.
Okay.
But anyways, the 80s.
Yeah, and just the music that would cue in when Johnny and the motorcycle guys came in.
Oh my gosh.
And, okay. And then, but then also the music that was playing on the radio, they kept it California, but also kind of a soft early 80s vibe.
And I felt like all the music matched exactly what was going on. Like yeah. They matched it really well.
Yeah.
Paul, how did you feel about the music?
Oh, can we go back? Because I wanted to go to the intro first. You talked about the intro, how it was like this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Going from New Jersey to Reseda.
Right. So this movie begins. You know this is an 80s movie. When you sit down and there's a long credit sequence of nothing.
Yes.
So it's like preparing your mind. Okay. This boring intro. It has some nice scenery shots.
Yeah.
It has a couple character development shots where they're pushing the car out mm-hmm. together. You know, that
establishing kind of, that. Yeah.
But for the most part, the title sequence at the beginning is long and boring. So your mind is going through going, all right, here we go. Let's go back to the 80s, which can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending.
And you got the guy at the apartment, Ricky Rodriguez, you know, when he's walking up, like his first kind of quasi buddy, but who kind of bails on him when he gets beat up.
Yeah, totally.
But like a lot of those guys, I forgot what all the hairstyles were, but it screamed 80s.
Yes, definitely.
And just the soccer, like even the, you know, even Cobra Kai hairstyles were night. They had some with longer beach hair, but then that guy.
Johnny was totally Donald Trumping it, I thought.
Donald Trumping it?
Well, that's what his hair reminded me of.
Oh, okay.
It was the Beatles, but a little bit longer.
I guess kind of Justin Bieber also, which is interesting.
Oh, that is interesting. But I'd like to comment on the music.
Okay, and then we'll go back.
Some of the music. The songs that they chose, I thought were very appropriate. Some were obnoxiously loud and I thought were inappropriate. But some of the score was really nice and really touching.
Yeah, totally.
Do you know who did the score?
The only reason I know is because I remember Josh, your brother, bringing him up on, I forget which, if it was Barry's Not Included, or which episode, but Bill Conti as the composer.
Who did Masters of the Universe.
That's what it was.
Right.
Wow, way back in episode 3. Check that out at retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP3. But the audio quality is very poor, so be forewarned.
Yeah, but he also did the Rocky movies and most of the Academy Awards since then.
Okay. Very cool. Thank you for bringing that up, Paul. We cut off Bill, though, so I want to go back to what Bill was going to say.
Well, one of my favorite songs in the movie was not an 80s song. It's that song that's playing when Daniel's on the beach, and it's kind of more of a Japanese, I think, sounding song. It has like mm-hmm. a flute in the background.
Yeah, I love that.
And that I thought that captured, you know, it finally was Daniel getting away from everybody and everything. It was just him practicing.
Oh, you know, that's interesting. I didn't think about the sort of play that the music when he's sort of in the world, so to speak, of like high school and peers and all that, it's a very 80s music soundtrack. But then when he's away with Mr. Miyagi, it's usually the more touching
right,
music.
Right.
That's really interesting. I didn't think about that.
That would be funny if they played the 80s music with him and Mr. Miyagi. Start doing Flock of Seagulls or something.
Oh my
like
gosh.
That.
Wake me up before you go, go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, gotta get here early, Daniel-san.
Yeah.
Wake me up.
Paul, what was something else you really loved about the movie? Or was there anything else?
I don't know. There was no epilogue. I mean, he kicked the guy in the face, and then he won in the end credits.
Which really contrasts with that opening that took so long.
Yeah, it was kind of like, but it left on a high note. I liked how it ended on a feel-good moment.
Yeah, totally.
Did you see that in the theater, Paul, that the first time you saw Karate Kid, or did you see it?
I believe I did. I don't know. I remember talking with somebody. This is either my... I think this is somebody else's memory who saw it in the theater. And when that whole scene of the wax on, wax off, and then as Mr. Miyagi is revealing to Daniel that he had been training him all along, and then now he can use defense moves. When that was revealed, the audience in the theater started clapping. It was like, that was such a big reveal. It's like, whoa, that's so cool.
That is a really awesome moment. And that actually makes me think that we had several people post to Facebook about their memories of Karate Kid, whether they thought it was a classic or second class. So I'm going to bring that up. But Bill, while I'm doing that, what did you think about, or did you see this movie in the theater?
Yeah, I saw it in the theater. I actually have a pretty distinct memory of it. I did see it with my dad, and I think we both stood up after that kick to the face. We were like, yeah! And just because it was a nice buildup, of course, you know, now I think we'd see it maybe as a little more predictable, mm-hmm. you know, because he's on the, you know, on like after his leg gets messed up, you know, in the semifinal match by that guy who, you know, did it purposely illegally, and Mr. Miyagi did whatever he did with his hands to, mm-hmm. you know,
Asian superpowers.
Yeah, that's like, I guess the Asian superpower includes some pretty incredible chiropractor skills, but
didn't he just like his knee was like knocked out of socket and he put it back in the socket basically?
I think that's much.
Oh, is that what it was? It seems like the doctor could have done that though if it was just a joint out of socket.
As an adult watching, that's what I think. As a kid, I thought he broke his leg and then Mr. Miyagi had these healing powers because he's like super Buddhist or whatever and that he's able to, you know, heal it back.
That was the sense you got because it didn't show exactly what he did.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like that whole flint and wood, you know, when you make fire, like he's rubbing his hands together, like, oh, wow, something amazing happened.
Yeah.
But I think they did the sound effect of that kick to the face well, because you could hear that kick to the face so loud. And then he's squirming like a little snake off to the side. And then one part I didn't like right after that was, I mean, I sort of liked, but, you know, I thought it was kind of weaselish, was when Johnny said, "You're all right." It's like, I want Daniel to smack him in the face again.
That was such a groaner moment. I didn't mind it as a kid, but as an adult, it's like, now they can all be friends. And I'm like, exactly.
Oh, interesting. Okay. That's really interesting that you guys feel that way. So let me close with this for our love section, unless there's something else burning that either of you have about something you loved or liked about the movie.
I can table it.
Okay. Paul?
No, I'm ready to say why I hated this. I mean, what I didn't like about
it. It's got a couple scrolls.
Foreshadowing here. So I want to say that I really liked how Johnny was a good loser. How he did go up to Daniel at the end and gave him the trophy. He didn't like continue being like a jerk about a jerk to him. He I don't know. I really like that. And something else I liked about Johnny is I didn't notice this as a kid, but watching it this time, when after he Daniel's gotten 2 points on him, I think he realizes, oh man, I got really focus in now. And he actually, like, whenever their little bout is over, he's on the floor kneeling away from Daniel, sort of like just, I presume, focusing. And then when it starts, he hops up and is ready to go. I really like that about his composure, I guess. Yeah, it's like, oh, this guy is a third. I can't just like, just.
Yeah, he's Qui-Gon Jinning it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What? That made me laugh. I thought that was really funny.
And there, I will say one thing too. At least there seemed to be some conscience with him when his coach was saying like the crazy things he was saying. Like he did seem like he had a little bit of horror, as much of a yes man as he was to him.
Yeah, totally.
Or
that I did enjoy, but I didn't enjoy the total flop at the end. Like, I fine handing him the trophy, I can understand. That's a good sport, but say, you're all right. No, this is the same guy who, when he saw him, like, totally started making out with the girl that he likes on purpose, you know? So
I guess that they could have set it up a little bit better if they were going to go that route. That did seem a little flip-floppy.
But it is high school. I know people flip-flop a lot.
That's a good point. Yeah. Maybe when he isn't, like, showboating for everyone else, he feels like, oh, he can just be more himself.
I think the closing music made him say that. It's like the closing music started, and that's when Johnny said, you're all right.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, before we get to the things we hated about Karate Kid, let me read pretty much all these Facebook comments are love for this movie. So Sarah Garcia says, yes, I used to listen to You're the Best Around before my karate tournaments and testing. Jake-Aaron Wallace, that's a couple that we know, said, I love that movie. And then Jules Jenksy, I'm pronouncing your name wrong, Jules, I'm sorry. I love that movie. I say you do. No question. That's your part. Deal? Wax on right hand, wax off left hand. Ha ha ha.
Is that your Asian accent?
Bite me.
I'm sorry.
I thought we had your Pat Morita.
Don't forget to breathe. Very important.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
And then Paul said,
it's amazing that she remembered that.
I see a picture of you, Paul, for Valerie, but Valerie Power says classic. And then, so that was just my own post. And then over on the Retro Rewind podcast page, which you can find at facebook.com/Retro Rewind Podcast, please like our page. We'd love to interact with you from there. Anyway, folks there say, oh, Sarah Garcia has a lot more to say. Let's see. Classic, still use the best. Oh, yeah. She was prepping for her karate tournaments and also before her EMT testing.
Wow.
Before my ride alongs, when I have a bad hair day. LOL. That's
EMT,
awesome.
EMT, that's awesome. Like, she's bringing people back to life. She's like, you're the best. Wake up.
I wonder if before she starts, she slaps her hands together and does this.
Oh, yeah. Does the Mr. Miyagi superpower.
Let us know if you do that, Sarah. And then she said her favorite memory was the first tournament. This is just a memory for her. So I'll go ahead and read that. Actually, I'm going to save that for feedback. So remind me, guys, to read Sarah's comment. Christy Ruiz, my wife, said, classic. Top three moments was when Daniel has that I quit moment, which we just alluded to, which we didn't actually talk. We should have talked about a little more, but
never mind. We'll talk about things we didn't like.
Yes. Yes. Here we go. But she said she liked that moment when Mr. Miyagi teaches him just exactly what he's been learning in that quit moment. Daniel and the shower costume she liked, and when Daniel wins. So those were her top three moments. Tim Ipok said, awesome. I love this movie. I haven't seen it in quite a while, but it is a classic for sure. And Edward Dacian says, first class. There's no first class rain, Edward. No, just give me a hard time. I still quote wax on, wax off to this day. Plus, contemporary movies quote it. And I didn't realize this. This is very cool. Thanks for sharing, Edward, that in The Social Network, the Winklevoss brothers say that you don't want to chase Mark Zuckerberg in a skeleton costume around the gym.
Yeah.
I haven't seen The Social Network, but that's funny.
Oh, really?
That,
no. It's a good movie.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. Movie. Okay. I'll have to pick that up. Maybe it'll be on a new tube sometime. Anyway, thank you everyone for commenting on Facebook. And all right, real quick, what was the thing you were going to table, Bill?
Oh, as far as still things I liked?
Mm-hmm. Because now, actually, I have ones too, so.
Oh, okay.
Oh, everyone gets one more chance before we just trash this movie.
One thing that I was huge into just going into arcades at that age.
Yes.
And just having those games, whether it was the, you know, older shooting games or just console games. It's funny now because unless you go to a place like Ground Control in Portland, mm-hmm. there's just no arcades like that. Yeah. Like, you know, they're either prize games or they cost a, you know, there's still some decent games, but there's just not a lot of console games. And so it's cool to actually see real arcades.
Yeah,
and
totally.
And not, you know, and the feel I got was that it was a genuine arcade. It wasn't just like a Hollywood put together arcade.
Mine was that I actually learned how to wear my backpack with one strap from Daniel in this movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did your parents ever teach you anything or did you learn everything from movies and TV?
Well, you know, they taught me to eat.
So. Oh, okay. Are you sure?
All right, guys. Let's get to the things we hated about The Karate Kid. Did you have something else, Paul?
Yeah. So this is a good transition because what I liked, I also didn't like.
Okay, cool.
I thought for a movie that shows fighting scenes, like when Daniel was getting his butt kicked at the beach or by the guys in the skeleton, I thought they did an accurate representation. If you got hit or kicked like that,
mm-hmm.
you would, at least I would go down pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that strong, but I'll admit it in front of everyone. Sorry. But I thought it was realistic, at least when they were fighting Daniel, I thought uh-huh. it was realistic. And I don't think movies show it that way. It's like, oh, the hero's got to be tough and last 20 minutes.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
But what I thought was unrealistic was when Mr. Miyagi came and did just a couple kick or hits to guys and then they were down.
Especially like since they've been training for who knows how many years. Yeah.
So Daniel would get kicked or hit like 3 or 4 times and he was down. That's understandable.
Yeah.
Mr. Miyagi, one hit or two hits and a kick and then they're down and he's fighting all these guys. That's like, come on. I understand there's time and everything, but let's be a little more realistic. Those 5 guys would have easily taken that old man out.
Yeah, probably. Well, though you have to remember that they were probably under the influence.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Because you saw Johnny rolling. I assume
now that okay, weed, but that still doesn't one punch and you're down. No.
But they sure seem sober and lucid during everything up to that fight, like when they were talking pretty straight, they weren't slurring their words or anything.
Yeah,
and then well, it's a movie.
So yeah, things that we didn't like. I didn't like how it was uneven like that.
Okay, got it. How about you, Bill? What was something that you hated about this movie?
What I hated was the fight. Some of the fights in the tournament. As a kid, I was confused because there were. A couple fights, like some of the middle fights with Daniel and Dutch and Daniel and that short guy who always laughed like this. But he would win after what seemed like just one point. And I'd be like, well, what happened? And I guess they edited and tried to make it as you assume that he got another point. But at the time, I was like, well, how come his point counts as 2 points?
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, it seemed like sometimes they would get way, you know, a much more forceful punch on him and he would get sort of, you know, a one that counted but not real strong. I mean, I did like the ones he got on Johnny, but up to then it was sort of like, you know, a quick, you know, punch to the chest
or something. That's all it takes for points. You know,
that's true.
That's true. I guess just in terms of satisfaction, though, I just kind of wanted him to smack Dutch bad. Like, that guy was all moving his head around like this. I was like, oh, man, that guy's good. And then, of course, Dutch gets the first big kick. But then another thing that I thought to me, and maybe as a 13 racial profiling, I don't know, but, boy, that Asian martial artist looked way better than anybody else.
Yeah.
And how Johnny...
Completely,
you know, shut him out in points and made him look bad. It did not seem realistic to me even as a kid. I was like, no way. And I, even then I thought they're just doing that for the movie.
That's interesting. I didn't really pick up on that. I totally bought into that Johnny had been training a long time and he was just that good.
That's what I thought as a kid. I picked up on it as an adult, but I thought even as an adult, I don't understand the technical rules. Like in the last one, there were several bouts between Johnny and Daniel where it seemed like there were no points counted because of technicalities. So,
yeah.
So I don't know the rules, but.
So it's funny that you guys bring this up. So I was watching that final round, that final fight between Daniel and Johnny, so Daniel gets 2 points. Then Johnny gets 2 points.
Quickly.
And then Johnny hits Daniel in the face. He punches him in the face.
Was it the side of the face?
Well, I think the side of the face. So
Maybe it was the back of the head.
Well, no, it wasn't. It wasn't the back of the head. It was definitely either the front of the face or the side of the face based on where Daniel was holding his head and just the camera work.
Maybe Daniel blocked it.
No, he didn't. He didn't block it. So I went to the internet because I'm like, okay, well, Johnny clearly won then because he would have scored that third point. The internet didn't reveal too much, but what I found, the only sort of rationale I could find was that possibly that just scoring to the face or scoring a punch to the face is kind of wonky. Like hitting the chin is sometimes okay, but sometimes not. But straight onto the face isn't okay, but the side of the face or the top of the head is okay. So
there's like areas of the face that don't count as points.
Apparently back then in karate tournaments or martial arts tournaments, that was the case. I don't know if that's still the case today.
So it's kind of like sweeping the leg. Like he said to sweep the leg, but he didn't get a point for it. Is that because it was a joint? Like you're not allowed to hit the joints?
Well, I think and this is another thing that really bothered me, was that how does Ali know so much about this tournament and what's going on? Because she says, so if you hit like the chest or any area of the torso or the... or I think she says the head too, then you get a point, but everywhere else is off limits or something like that.
Because the relationship with Johnny, I thought. Because
that actually makes sense. I didn't think about that, that that's how she would know, because she might have gone to Johnny's tournaments.
Well, they only dated for weeks. Oh, no, they were broken up for weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
She could have asked one of the judges.
That's true too.
I suppose.
That's what I assumed.
But anyways, I really feel like Johnny, as much as I hated him
for being
a jerk, I hated him for being a jerk, though I did like him at the very end because of his flip.
Now he's a nice guy. He's a righteous dude.
I think he should have won. Bill, what were you going to say? Or was there something else you really hated?
Actually, there was a short thing that I really liked that I related to Johnny in that one of those last fights. Like after Daniel got his first 2 points, somebody from the crowd goes, "You're a cream puff, Johnny." I love that part.
You really want to see Johnny get his comeuppance.
Oh, man. And you don't necessarily notice that the first time, but that's something you could just watch again and again.
I thought they said, "He's a cream puff, Johnny."
Oh, he's a cream puff. That's actually funny
like,
in a different way.
Johnny. He's a cream puff, Johnny. But
that,
he
that makes more
right.
sense. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I digress.
Yes.
But other things that we hated, is that what you were asking?
Yes.
I didn't like the whole where they're at that nice dinner place. Allie and the parents are just
Yes.
I thought as three-dimensional at times as Daniel's mom was, the parents of Allie were very two-dimensional and just stupid.
Yeah, what was up with them?
Yes. With like, oh, okay, Johnny, just, you know, I mean, the class thing to like, you know, it sounds like he maybe behind the scenes, he just had kind of worked in there, I guess you could, but just they weren't supporting their daughter at all.
Yeah, totally. And wanting her to go be with a guy that she clearly doesn't like.
They didn't know that. I disagree. I don't think that they were up on the... All they knew is that they were dating off, you know, like would go out. So...
Go ahead.
No, and plus they want... Okay, Johnny comes from money. Right. They want their daughter taken care of. This other guy, they don't look down on him like, oh, he's trash or anything. But they want to encourage her stability for her future. So if she's dating this nice guy who, by all appearances, it seems nice, then why not encourage that?
Well, here's the thing. They know that she doesn't like Johnny anymore because she went out with Daniel, and she wants to go out with Daniel again by the time of this dinner party.
Okay. So when your daughter becomes, let's say, high school age,
uh-huh.
Or is she going to be allowed to date?
I don't know. I don't think we're going to let her date like one-on-one.
Okay. There are different philosophies in dating.
Yes.
Some, you know, there's exclusive or there's like, hey, we'll go out on date. You know, some people go out on dates like every Friday night. And sometimes they're with the same guy. Sometimes they're with different people. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think just because that she went out with Daniel doesn't mean that Johnny's off the table.
I guess I could see that. It just seemed like that what she was saying there during the dance was that she, you know, does not want to be with him. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't seem heated. And yeah, there was that class thing where he definitely comes from the right stock or whatever. And so, yeah, and I can see what you're saying on that. It just seemed, you know, that they were pulling for it so much. Like I can actually see more why they didn't want her to be with Daniel, but it seemed like she had already communicated she didn't want to be with Johnny either to them. And so that just was a little puzzling how they were so like, all right, but I guess it's the whole stock thing from where he came from. But then the whole, like, and then she agrees to dance with him, and I thought that was kind of weak.
And they're
doing that to set up the whole Daniel looking through the door, falling down. That seemed a little more contrived.
It follows her character that she dates men who have anger issues, that she's submitting to those kind of circumstances.
I suppose. I haven't given it that type of thought, but I could see how you would think that.
But yeah, I didn't really notice her telling the parents that she didn't like Johnny anymore. So I can see how that can come across as unsupportive. Mm-hmm. I didn't pick that up. But maybe it's there.
Okay.
So I will concede to those who picked it up.
All righty. Let's see.
But then after
Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, I'm sorry. And then after that, like the, I thought her friends were, you know, they were.
I hated her friends.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Good. Well, they did good. They did good at
The one redeeming thing was when related to that was when the friend said, "Well, did you know that she punched him?" But yeah, they were kind of with a really two-dimensional brush for most of it, like, you know, just bad attitude towards him the whole time. And yeah, I mean, not that they wouldn't, but it just seemed a little more like a TV character instead of a movie character.
I think they're taking the right amount of time developing Daniel and Mr. Miyagi's relationship, and
that's where I disagree.
Oh, you don't think they took it long enough?
No, I think they took too much time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because during the whole thing where he's like painting, now he's painting the fence. Like, what is going on with the mom and these other characters? Like, what is, I thought they spent too much time. Now, granted, there's a big payoff for that. And you see that this is more of a character development story between the two. Mm-hmm. But to go back on her friends, I thought they didn't, they could have, they didn't have enough screen time to really dive into it. So they appear two dimensional. But I felt that the screen time, because you had all these other characters going on, I was wondering what was going on with them, I guess. I remember thinking, like, with Daniel at Mr. Miyagi's house early in the morning to late o'clock at night, what does his mom think about all this? We never hear that. I was like, where's his mom? Yeah, she's at work, but at night and early in the morning, too? It's like, what's... So I
Latchkey Karate Kid.
Even still, he was there way too late and way too early.
And that occurred to me because especially what the angle my mind took was that it seemed like he did that for several days in a row. And it's like, don't you have school, kid?
Yeah.
Maybe that was spring or break summer. Or something.
I mean, I suppose.
But yeah, they didn't go into it. So that's that's why I felt that their time together on screen was a little too long because it was it made me question things like that.
Okay. Well, you actually brought up the whole, the reveal, I'll say, of how he's been trained. He's really has been training Daniel this whole time.
Yes.
Now, I want to ask you guys, do you think that I know for us as an audience, that's a really cool thing. And that makes that moment all that much more powerful that we didn't really know what was going on.
But right.
If this movie was real, do you think that would have been really that valuable for Mr. Miyagi to withhold that? I think it would have made much more sense to tell Daniel, hey, this is why I'm training. This is like muscle memory, and this is why I'm training you the way I'm training you.
He's a kooky old man who's trying to capture flies with chopsticks who neglects his work. So, of course, he's going to do it backwards.
Okay. I guess that makes sense from a character point of view. But, Bill, what do you think about that?
I think even from the very first moment, Mr. Miyagi was teaching Daniel to be lazy. You know, with the pool thing to like, you know, life sentence. I'm just messing with
like, what? Really?
Yeah, he never fixed the pool.
Boy, wow, I did think that the mom really should have done a little more, you know. She must have seen some picture of the pool from a couple of years before. But, sorry, what was the question again?
Anyway, I was curious what you thought about, should Mr. Miyagi have told Daniel, this is why I'm training you?
To me, it was good that the reveal came later.
Okay.
Yeah, for as a, I think Mr. Miyagi was testing his loyalty.
Oh.
Daniel, to see, okay, how serious are you?
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Because if he told him, like, I think he might have been either just not as into it. Like, it was almost like Daniel was kind of doing this to get past it so he could get trained.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, he was thinking this is, like, some step that he has to take care of. And that's why he started getting frustrated. Like, well, what else do you want me to do until I get trained? And then, boom, the reveal came. And I thought that was about right time.
Go
ahead.
I think that's a totally valid point. I think, though, that it's very, especially since Mr. Miyagi isn't like micromanaging him the whole time, it'd be very easy for him to just go through the motions and not really do it to the degree that you would need to do it to be trained effectively.
Well, that's true, too.
But I think he was so scared about getting his butt kicked that he was willing to do,
I'll do anything.
Pretty much. Like, I think, you know, one of the scenes that was prior to that was they were in that dojo and he was just expecting him to kind of stand up for him. All of a sudden he's in this tournament and it's like, okay, I better do whatever I can to get ready.
And
he knows Mr. Miyagi is a good fighter, but that's not that long of a time. And so the time's ticking away with all these tasks in Daniel's mind when, you know, of course it's helping him, but he doesn't know that. But
yeah. Paul, what is something else that you didn't like about the movie?
It was slow. The beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, if it were made today, and it was. there were parts that I thought were a little bit too slow. It had that nostalgic feel.
Yeah.
You know, the timing of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a slow pace.
All right. I only have one other thing that I didn't like, guys. So I'll give you guys a chance for one more thing that you either didn't really like about the Karate Kid or absolutely hated about it.
I didn't like that a bunch of college kids were all playing high school.
Isn't that always the way movies are, typically, though?
Yeah.
They should have had Michael J. Fox play one of the characters.
Nice. Was that really yours, Paul, or did you, or was that just being silly? Okay. How about you, Bill?
I guess one thing that Paul mentioned before is something that I think you can look at both ways in terms of timing. I think the most recent Karate Kid movie, I'm sure, was edited better, and it was tighter.
Though it was actually longer. I looked it up.
It was longer
by about 20 minutes than this movie.
That's really interesting.
The music video at the end. And the credits.
That may have been it.
It could have added some time. But to me, I don't mind if for certain movies to have it extend a bit, as long as it's just not completely wasted exposition. Like, to me, maybe it's just because I like that time period. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I think there's other movies that I've seen kind of, you know, filler space that has been annoying. But for me, it seemed, I don't know, almost more organic that you're kind of going into the movie. Of course, I was watching it while I was doing something else. So maybe if I was just watching the movie solely this last time that I watched it, maybe I'd feel a little differently.
Okay. Sorry.
So I was worried about it for exactly that reason, Bill. Like, I watched this with my wife, Christy, and it's getting to be 9:00. I'm like, I don't know if we should put this on because after like 8, I get in danger of falling asleep to a movie that, especially if I've seen it before. And so I was like, I don't know if we should do this. Maybe we should just wait. But actually, we sat down and watched it, and I wanted to keep going. I just wanted to keep watching it. I was not tired. I was completely interested and invested in it, and that was really awesome. Quite different from DuckTales from last
time. So the flow was good for you.
Yeah, it was really good for me. I didn't feel like it was too slow or anything.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought the cinematography was good. It had pretty pictures.
I didn't really notice it for the cinematography, but it certainly didn't.
You know, with the Mr. Miyagi in the background on the doing the kicks on the post.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that was
like
cool. Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't really Pat Morita or, you know, whatever his name
was. It wasn't? Oh, I thought it was.
Well, I don't think Pat had that much grace. I could be wrong.
Yeah, no.
It's probably a stunt double.
Totally, yeah. I mean, that makes sense. But totally ruined the movie magic for me, Paul. I totally would have. I never would have given it a second thought.
Well, that's why I said it looked good.
Yeah. No, you're right.
And that actually, that whole crane kick thing, I mean, not just the kick at the end, but him practicing, that was a kick. I had never taken karate, but I would try practicing that crane kick all the time after that movie.
Oh, my gosh. So I took, that's one of the things I didn't like about this movie after the fact, is because I did take
karate?
Self-defense class.
Oh, okay.
And that is just a regular forward kick distracted by your arms going
up.
Yeah,
it is. It is, yeah.
So it's like the whole finale is just a front kick, front jump kick.
So they made way too big of a deal out of that.
But there's no defense.
Oh,
until
sure
Karate Kid 2.
Yeah.
So maybe it was just the hypnotic thing of the hands going up.
Yeah, exactly. It was the distraction.
Exactly. And that actually leads me into the thing that I really didn't like about this, or something I didn't like about this movie, was even though Daniel sort of crash coursed his training and really just tried to pack it all in, I don't think there's any way he could have beaten someone that's been taking any martial art but karate since it's Karate Kid for as long as perceivably Johnny has been taking martial arts to like
or those go up, other black belts.
Or those other black belts. I really don't think it's feasible. Let's move on to the moment of truth. But that's only if Alice, have you found a firing solution for us?
Firing solution complete. Rating salvo at the ready. On your mark.
it's time for the moment of truth where we tell you whether we think Karate Kid was a classic or second class. Let's start with Paul.
Oh, you're starting with me again.
Yes.
I will have to say it's a classic. This, because this movie has a lot of heart. It leaves on a feel-good moment. Even though there are some cheesy parts in it and some silly parts, some unbelievable parts and some annoying parts. But overall, it's a great character development, which you don't often see in films these days.
Yeah, totally. So you would, even though you felt it was kind of slow, it'd still be a movie that you'd put on if your friends came over and wanted to watch a movie?
Yeah, if they'd never seen it and like they saw the Jackie Chan version, and then never saw this, I was like, okay, let's watch the original. That spun off all these other things. You could see what this is based off of.
Get acquainted with our roots.
Yeah,
very cool. Thank you, Paul. Bill, same question, and please tell us how you rate or what. You consider either a classic if you rate a classic or second class?
I consider Karate Kid a classic.
Oh, all righty.
And to sum up, just it's a movie that it's probably one of the first favorite movies I had as a teenager.
And, really?
And just one that I didn't necessarily identify completely with Daniel, but I liked his character so much. And I liked how he had a struggle throughout a lot of it, and you know, and how he came out. And it's still kind of moving that to me. And one part I didn't talk about earlier, when he gets that leg fixed, how he says that, you know, he's not right with himself. He doesn't have balance with himself. And
that was a very mature moment. I was impressed as an adult. I was like, well, that's not a kid talking. But for the movie, it's very motivational for Mr. Miyagi to fix because he can understand that. It's
right, because he wasn't going to fix him until that. He says, you already proved your point, proved point. Yeah. But, you know, but after he said that, that's what hit it for me. And then that made that fight just more satisfying because it was his stance.
Totally.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Bill. So we have a classic from Paul. A classic from Bill, which leaves me. All right, so I know I said I liked a lot of this movie, but I haven't said how I have trained at a martial arts school. So there's all this technical stuff I've seen in the movie that doesn't really matter because I still think it's a classic.
Okay, so that
see how I slipped it in there.
Yeah, you're trying to fool us.
Yes. Yeah, I was fooled.
Yes.
I was fooled Mission by your... anyway, never mind.
So what trumped the technical stuff for you?
I was just making that up because I wanted to see if I could make you guys flinch or be like, what? You don't think it's a classic?
But no, so this is something that you would share with your daughter? That's what makes it a classic?
Totally. And... first off, it's something I really enjoyed. And like I said, I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it and how much I invested in it, even though I've seen the movie several times. But I definitely enjoyed watching it again. Given just The Karate Kid, the Retro Rewind podcast rates it a unanimous classic.
Boom.
Boom. Boom.
All right, so definitely go out and check The Karate Kid. It is free now. You can watch it for free on Amazon Prime, or you can rent it through Amazon or probably, I'm sure, several other places. All right, you guys. Now let's fast forward into the future and find out what's new on our tube. Alice?
New tube systems engaged.
All righty. So this is the segment where we talk about what's new on our tube, essentially what new TV shows or movies or even music we've been watching or listening to. So let's go ahead and start with Bill. What's something that's new on your tube?
Siberia this summer. I love Siberia. Have you heard?
I've never visited.
NBC? NBC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't visited the place, but fantastic show.
Okay, awesome.
It's called Siberia this summer?
Siberia. it was a summer show.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Awesome.
And maybe about 8-10 week show, kind of a faux reality show, which people start dying.
Oh.
It's pretty awesome.
Well, all right. Yeah. Death is awesome.
You're into people dying. It's a snuff series.
It is on TV. Pretty much. Wow. Pretty much. And then there, for me, as long as there's a good conspiracy element, I like it.
Very cool.
Yeah. Not all death shows are, you know, some can... It's interesting because they're featuring more and more shows on murder, like in the last few years. I've just read an article about that. So just because it is about that, it doesn't make it good. But for this particular one, I enjoyed a lot.
Very cool. All righty. Paul, what is new on YouTube?
Something that I mentioned before. I was talking about Plants vs. Zombies. Okay. I said that Plants vs. Zombies 2 is going to come out this summer.
Yeah.
Well, that's been consuming a lot of my downtime lately is the second one.
Nice.
Which is called Plants vs. Zombies 2. It's about time.
But not so, Time the Spice, which I'm thoroughly disappointed in.
Yeah. I've been playing it on my iPhone, so it's on the iOS. I think it's out on Android now. I know they were time releasing it on different platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So check your local listings.
All right. Well, thank you, Paul. All right. Well, what is new on my tube? Thanks for asking, Paul.
Oh, like
what's new on your tube?
Thanks. I'm glad you asked, Bill. What is new on my tube?
Someone should.
Is I went and saw, I guess a few weeks ago now, the movie Elysium with Matt Damon.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I really liked it. It's from the same, I think the same director or the same team that made District 9, which was a movie I really liked also. I thought, this is spoiler free now, but I thought the movie went to where it needed to go, but I guess I would wish for a different ending than ended up happening. But I understand why it ended up there.
I heard a review that it was unnecessarily violent and bloody.
It's an R movie, so I would expect that
from an R movie.
Yeah, so
is
any blood and violence really necessary in a movie? Well, I don't know.
I think that's a point where it seems like, okay, they didn't have to go into that much detail and you know what I mean?
I've seen worse. I've certainly seen worse and probably better movies, so.
Okay. But some other person said he felt so dirty afterwards he needed to take a shower.
It makes you think. It makes you think. I think there's undertones to it that if you think about, and I certainly did, maybe it'd be like, oh man, it made me feel a little guilty.
Yeah. Well, that's what the way District 9 was supposed to, with racism and all that stuff too.
I didn't feel as guilty about that one. I don't know why, but.
Well, because you're not as much of a racist as you are an elitist or classist.
Oh.
Right?
You know, my name is Johnny, so.
Okay.
Bringing Francisco. It around. See?
Oh, you're the Cobra Kai guy?
Yeah, there you go. Anyway.
Oh, because of the class.
Wow. Yes, Paul.
Hey, I'm helping our slower listeners.
Thank you. You know what? I'm sure they appreciate it. All right.
Thank you. I just got it.
Okay.
And Bill's here for the even more slow.
So not check those out.
Not everyone could be as quick as you, Francisco.
We will have links to all those on our website. Just go to retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP20. Let's move on. Alice, will you bring up the communication satellites, please?
ComSat online. Receiving incoming transmission.
Boom. All right, guys. So I'm going to bring up the post that Sarah left us, where she went into some of her experience doing martial arts tournaments. A favorite memory is my first tournament, and my Nina, her godmother, came to watch me. I was nervous because it was my first time, and I was the only yellow belt against senior ranks. Brown and black. I listened to the song while I stretched, and my dad went, over my form with me. I went into the ring, performed my kata, which is her form, and took the gold. Wow, good job, Sarah. After that,
she's a regular Daniel Russo.
Oh, yeah. After that, my Nina would sing the song when I got nervous, and when she passed away, I kept doing it. Aww. That's very sweet. Thank you for sharing that memory, Sarah. That's awesome. That song's
powerful.
Yeah, totally.
They should do a movie.
Oh, wait, they did.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Sarah. We didn't have any other... we did have feedback. Duh, Francisco. Wanted to share that a new listener to the show, Chris McGinty, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, Chris, has left us several really nice comments on our Facebook page. One of those, as I'm bringing it up, was... I've been listening for a while now, and I went back and listened to your back catalog. Great stuff. You guys need more likes. Thank you. I think we agree with that, Chris.
Sorry for going all the way back with the poor audio quality on my part. Sorry.
No problem, Ball.
Thank you, Chris.
Yes, thank you very much, Chris. That was really sweet of you. Let's share where people can get in contact with us if they would like to reach out to us. Bill, do you have a Twitter or an email that you'd like to give out?
Tuner1000bl@gmail.com is a good email.
Oh, awesome. Paul, is it still pauljpowers.com?
Yes, or you can reach me at pauljpowers through Twitter or... Yeah, that's cool. pauljpowers.com.
.com. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Francisco at FXRUIZX. And then you can leave you can send an email to the show. Our email address is feedback@retrorewindpodcast.com. Also again, leave a comment on the post when it goes up. You can comment on Facebook. And you can also find our boards on Pinterest. Just go to pinterest.com/retrorewindcast. Podcast was a little too big. But we post poster artwork, toys from yesteryears, and iconic characters. I posted one, this cool illustration someone did of Johnny as if he were the hero of Karate Kid, which was pretty cool.
Oh, did I notice that? I'll have to recheck that out.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was a concept behind the artwork.
Paul, do you know, before we take off for this time,
Of course I know.
Oh, okay. Then tell us what we're going to be covering next time on the Retro Rewind podcast.
Next time, it is a mystery. Tune in and find out.
But we are going to be doing Apollo 13 in honor of the movie Gravity coming out.
That's with
Paul Rubens.
Not with Paul Rubens. It's with Forrest Gump and Lieutenant Dan.
That's right.
Yes, exactly.
Lieutenant Dan.
The Ron Howard movie.
All right. And Gary Sinise.
Yep. So please send us any memories or whether you think Apollo 13 is a classic or second class, and we'll include that in the show. All righty. I want to thank Bill. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
My pleasure.
And Paul, thank you as always for being an awesome co-host.
Sure thing. And thank you, Francisco.
You are welcome. And most of all,
rocking and a rolling.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, listener, for listening. We really appreciate you. And it's just awesome to know that you put your earbuds, you put us in your earbuds, whether you're running or working or whatever you're doing. We like that you enjoy the show. But share the show with a friend. Just say, hey, check out this podcast called the Retro Rewind Podcast, or leave us a rating or review on iTunes. That's another great way to share the show. Until next time, like a Pokemon, we'll catch you later.
Hey.
Retro Rewind mission complete.
Do you think our audience actually evolves, like when you catch them, like a Pokemon, and then we like throw them at other like listeners and watch them do battle? And hopefully they'll evolve and do better, and then they can be in the tournament like Daniel. Is this how you view the listening audience? That's why you want to catch them like a Pokemon?
Wow, you brought this like full circle. That's pretty impressive.
There should be a Pokemon Karate Kid. That would be awesome.
Oh, yeah. He could evolve into, like, Mr. Miyagi.